I would like us to open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. We read that this morning, but I'm just going to read two verses. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament, chapter number 34, 14, verses 14 and 15. Now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I want you to note those words and probably underline them. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for another awesome, awesome privilege to gather around your word this morning. We acknowledge the presence of your spirit in this place to help us understand your word as it applies to us as a body of Christ, as a local assembly, and specifically as individuals. Lord, breathe upon your word again. Let it come alive unto us. Lord, let this word heal. Let it deliver. Let it strengthen. Let it cause an emancipation from any bondage of the enemy. Lord, I pray for an anointing upon me as the speaker that you're going to speak through me this morning, that you anoint my tongue and you make it like the pen of a ready writer, so that your word will flow out of me like streams of living water. It's going to be in accuracy and in power, in simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let this word build us up more and more into the image and the likeness of Jesus. Thank you because you're going to do this and more, because we have asked in Jesus' mighty name, and the church shout aloud, amen. Now, I don't know whether you've been in such a situation where you were looking for something and you've probably, told other people that, oh, I'm looking for this thing, and you've looked around and all of a sudden you discover that what you've been looking around for is actually with you, on you, by you, close to you. Such that you become embarrassed finding that thing. You know, the other time I think I was home and I was looking for my pair of glasses, and I was asking everyone, you know, there is a problem in this house. You always take things when I put them and all those things. And my glasses was just upon my brow that way, you know. And you can imagine how embarrassing it was, finding it. Daddy is just there. Where? Here. Oh. All right, yeah. Sorry about that. You know, that's the situation that we have this morning. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about lost and found items. Luke chapter number 15. We've explored the three parables there. Those things were lost and they were retrieved. They were found. In this particular instance, we discovered that what was actually lost was not far away from where it was kept. It was not far away from where it ought to actually be. In fact, it was where it ought to be, but then it was still lost. And that's the situation that we have in this particular instance. Everything that we've been talking about over the past 3 weeks in the series Lost and Found has been the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this particular instance today, we're talking about a situation that actually happened. In other words, this is actually not a parable. It's actually an event that took place, and that's found in 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. Now, I'm aware that not many of us might be familiar with this story, and that's why we took time to actually do the Bible reading earlier today, and Christine did a great job, calling all of those strange names. You know, so when you want to punish somebody in church, you just tell them to, just kidding, Christian, this is not for you, okay? You ask them to go and read the names, you know, in the Old Testament, and by the time they finish, they are already panting, you know, catching up with your breath. Anyway, that was not the reason for that. I didn't mean to punish Christians, you know, but the story is probably not very familiar to many of us, and so that's why we took some time out to read it. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you by the grace of God on what I've titled, Find a Word. Church, please say with me, find a word. Find a word. And it's the story of this particular king, a king emerged in Judah by the name Josiah. Josiah was just 8 years old when he became king over Judah. Now, his grandfather was a man by the name Manasseh. Manasseh was aged 12 when he became king. He ruled over Judah for 55 years. He was not a good king. He was not a pleasant king. He moved away from the Lord. But later in his life, he repented. And after he is gone, his son, Amon, took his place. And Amon started reigning over Judah at age 22. And he was a very terrible king. He was only there for 2 years. He was assassinated, you know, it was very, very terrible. And then Josiah came in. Like I said, Josiah was just 8 years old when he became king of Israel. Think about that, an eight-year-old boy, you know, becoming king of a powerful kingdom, you know. By the way, he wasn't the youngest king in Judah. There was another king before him that was age 7. Can you imagine that? 7. And he was king. But Josiah was 8 when he became king over Judah. Now, but Josiah chose a path that was quite different from his father's and his grandfather in the sense that he sought the Lord. He followed the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 3 that by the time he was 8 years into his reign, 8 years into his reign, he started seeking the Lord. That means when he was 16, he had started seeking the face of the Lord. And the Bible says by the time it was, verse number 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. I love the word while he was still young. And I want to say it specifically to young people in the church. You are not too young to serve God. Let no one deceive you. That until you cross the age of 18 and you become an adult, that is when it is time to begin to seek and to serve the Lord. The Bible says, when this boy was still 8 years old, he began to seek the God of his father David. In the 12th year, so this boy is now 18 years old, the Bible says he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. Can you see that? He was king by 8. By the time he was 18, when usually people are given the license to do all kind of, you know, naughty stuff. This boy, the Bible says, he began to purge Judah. He was a great king. That's what I'm driving at. Judah and Jerusalem, he purged their high places. By the word, high places actually means places of worship to, you know, to gods, to other gods, you know, to pagan gods and all of those things. Because those things were quite rife. In Judah, by the time this young boy became king in Israel, don't forget, like I said, his father and his grandfather, to a very great extent, a large part of Israel, did not follow the Lord. So they had messed up the whole thing in terms of the worship of Israel by the time this young boy came to power or came to become the king over Israel. Now, verse 8 tells us something that is very important. Verse 8 says, in the 18th year of his reign, so this young man is now 24 years, when he had purged the land of the temple, and the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So he began to do something here when he was 24. He wanted to repair the temple. He wanted to repair the house of the Lord. Now, to cut a long story short, in the course of repairing the house of the Lord, something happened. Hilkiah, the priest, was the high priest at the time. He was the one that was kind of supervising the work. Of course, there were four men in the house. There were four men there that were, you know, overseeing the carpenters, the masons, and all of the other people, the artisans. They were doing the work. While they were doing that, they were going to actually remove some money from the temple. And as they removed the money from the temple, Hilkiah, who happened to be the priest, found something. Now, just stay with me as we go together in this. I'm going to make this story short, and then we're going to get and cut into what exactly is in for us as 21st century believer. Now, in verse number 14, it says, "Now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the law given by Moses." So they found something. They found a book. This book was the book of the law. Many scholars believe that this book was the Pentateuch. Pentateuch happened to be the first five books of Moses. Those books were written by Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so they found this book. Now, it's interesting that they found this book in the house of the Lord. So this book was not found on the street. It wasn't found in a cave. It wasn't found, you know, somewhere else. It wasn't found even in the palace. It was found in the very house of the Lord. Talk about something that is lost but is very close home. When I started, I talked about you losing something that you found on your person. I mean, it's not far from you. That's exactly what we find here. The book of the law was lost in the house of the Lord. It was right there, but it was not reckoned with for almost 60 years, because if you put the year of Haman, 2 years, his father, and that of his grandfather, 55 years together, that's about 57 years. At least 57 years, almost 60 years, nobody reckoned with this book called the Book of the Law of the Lord. And that was supposed to be the blueprint of what Israel was supposed to actually live their life, both at the family level and as a state, as a country, as a nation. But it was neglected. Now, like I said, this book was not lost on the street. It wasn't, you know, lost, you know, in a cave. It was found right in the temple, in the temple of the Lord. It was neglected to the point that it became missing. You know, it's like you leaving something for so long and you don't even know where it is anymore. That's exactly the case of this situation. Now, just hold on to that thought as I say something else, and then we're going to connect them together. Every problematic situation in life requires a word from God to make it right. I'll say that again. Every problematic situation in life requires just a word from the Lord to get it right or to make it right. Or simply put, there is a word for every situation. There is a word for every situation. So I don't care what your situation is right now. What is required is a word from the Lord to you to get you out of that situation. I'm referring to situation that is problematic now. You know, every problematic situation requires a word from the Lord to get you out of that. Whether it is a spiritual problem, whether it is a financial problem, whether it is a problem regarding relationship, whether it is something that's regarding work, employment, whatever it is that you are facing right now, you just need a word from the Lord, just one, from the Lord, to get you out of that situation. It provides a solution to that situation, a word from the Lord. Now, the Bible makes this clear to us right from the very outset. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 2 says that the earth was without form and void. It says darkness was over the deep. Darkness was over the water. Verse 3 says that then God said. So there was a problem situation. There was darkness. There was chaos. There was confusion everywhere. And God said. It was that word that began the process, if you like. It began the process of putting things that were wrong right. So where you are today, whatsoever your situation is, and it's like you're being bombarded from left, right, and center, I can assure you that all you need is just a word. And you need a word from the Lord. When I say a word, I'm talking about a word from the Lord. I'm not talking about a Chinese proverb, and there is no offense to Chinese people. I'm not talking about an African adage. I'm not talking even about a folklore, an Australian folklore. Those things are great to help us to understand things. But they are not potent to provide a solution to your situation. You need a word, and that word needs to come from the Lord. Now, the challenge this morning is that I need you to find that word. You need to find that word. The challenge to you and I is that we need to find the word. That word of God that applies to your situation needs to be found, and needs to be found quickly in order to experience a change to your situation, you know. And until you find that word, the situation remains the same. Now, in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, And the earth was void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. You know, what the Bible never tells us is for how long that had been, you know, but it was in that situation before the word came. Now, the thing is, until the word comes, the situation will remain exactly the same. And like I said, it's not a proverb from Africa. It's not a word from the Chinese. It's a word from the Lord that will make that situation right. Now, the challenge to you and to me is that you need to find the word. I need to find the word. And the word is in the Bible. The word that you need for your situation to turn around is right here. Now, I know you own a Bible. I hope you do, you know. But it is not going to benefit you in any way until you find that word for your situation. Until you find that particular specific word for your situation, it's not going to benefit you. You know, when we were young, I know some people, when they want to go to bed, they said, if you want to overcome all kind of, you know, nightmares and troubled dreams, just put your Bible, you know, under your pillow, you know, and some of us practice that, you know, ignorantly. But unfortunately, it didn't change matters. As a matter of fact, on those nights, we're even worse, you know, than others. Why? Because what addresses that situation is not paper and ink. This is paper and ink. What addresses the situation is a word from the Lord. And that word, even though it's contained in paper and ink, needs to be invigorated. It needs to be activated by the Spirit of the Lord. And that is the word that you require and that you need. Now, back to the story. So they found this word. They found this book of the law of the Lord. And it was found by a priest. The priest took this book, and he gave it to a particular person called Shaphan. Shaphan was the scribe or a secretary. And Shaphan took the book and took it to the king. Now, think about that. A priest found it, and he delivered it into the hand of the king. Why? Because a priest does not have the ability to be able to execute the content of the book, especially as it relates to the life of the people of Judah. For it to be implemented or executed, it has to find its way into the hand of the king, who has the power or the authority to be able to execute the findings in the book. And that's exactly what happened. Because when the book was eventually got across to Josiah, who happened to be the king, he was then able to execute certain things. Now, where am I driving to? I'm saying that a priest needs to find it and a king needs to execute it. Now, here is the beauty of it. The Bible calls us kings and priests. In other words, you are a priest, you are a king. Now, in the Old Testament, those offices were separated. There was no way you could have a king who will also perform as a priest. As a matter of fact, a king tried it and his kingdom was torn apart. Remember the name of the king? Saul. Saul tried it. He began to make sacrifices that were supposed to have been done by Samuel, the priest or the prophet of God, and his kingdom was torn apart. But in the New Testament that we have been brought into through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not just a king, you are a priest. In other words, you are both to discover the word, find a word, and be able to execute it. That's the beauty of it. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible calls us a special people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, note those words, royal priesthood. Royalty and priesthood never existed together in the Old Testament. There was no way you could have a royal person who was also going to be a priest. But in the kingdom, in the New Testament, you have those functions being matched together in a single individual called you by the reason of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can function as both a priest and a king. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, that's clear to us. The Bible calls us, it has made us kings and priests. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. So that's who you are now. I'm not talking about what you are going to become. I'm talking about who you are. Now, how does this all come together? It means that you can discover his word and also execute it. You are not like the Ilkahiah of this world and Josiah, whereby one had to discover it and the other had to execute it. You can both discover and execute the word in your life. And like I said, you need just one word to address your situation. Not even two. One is enough. Now, there is a popular preacher in the last century. It would say something like, you need a word from the Lord. And you need a word from the Lord. It took a while before people understood what he was talking about. He was saying that in your own chaotic, confusing situation, whatsoever the challenge of your life is, you just need a word from the Lord. Because when that word will come, that word will address the situation and will provide a solution. That's the beauty of it. It will address the situation. It will provide a solution. Now, when you find this word, it will make impact at three levels. It will make impact on you at three levels. Number one, it will have an impact on your attitude, your heart attitude. Just stay with me, people of God. We're going somewhere, and it's not far enough. It's not far off at all. This word, when you discover it, is going to have an impact on your attitude. Look at the life of Josiah. Let's see how the attitude of this man changed by the reason of an encounter with this word that was found in the temple. You know, by the way, an attitude refers to a settled way of thinking or believing or feeling, rather, a settled way of thinking or feeling. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34, look at verse number 19. Then it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. Stop. Now, so when Elkiah found the Bible, I'm using the word Bible now, the way it was described is the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord, or the book of the law of the Lord, what we refer to as the Bible. Like I said, it's probably just the first five books of the Bible at this point in time, because not all the complete other portions that we have today had been written. When they found it, he gave it to the scribe or the secretary, and the secretary took it to the king, and then they read the word in there to the king. When the king heard the word, Josiah, now the Bible says he tore his garment. Now, the tearing of clothing was a traditional expression of horror, of astonishment, or of deep conviction. In other words, he became convicted on behalf of the nation of Judah. Oh, we have departed so far off from exactly what God wants us to do as a nation. Don't forget that for almost 60 years, they have not had an encounter with this word. And so he became convicted by it. The Bible says he tore his garment. That's a change of heart. There was a conviction. There was a godly sorrow, if you like, that came over this man because of what he has just found in the Word. And that's what the Word will do to anyone. It will bring a change of your attitude. Now, the attitude that was changed here was in the direction of conviction and godly sorrow. But that's not the only way that there could be attitudinal changes that will come to us by the way of our encounter with a word from the Lord. The word from the Lord, the encounter with the word of from the Lord can bring hope, for instance. It can be confidence to somebody who has lost it completely. It can bring encouragement. These are things that will happen at the heart level, you know, that will change the course of things, because oftentimes it is the changes that you require is first inside. It also takes place inside or internal before it becomes expressed outwardly, you know. So the word from the Lord will bring a change of attitude. People of God, listen to me. I can point to specific instances in my life by the grace of God, and I'm being very modest here by the grace of God, that I can point to such instances in my life as an individual and as a family that what saved the day for us was just a contact, an encounter with a word from the Lord. And the situation would have ended in a very terrible way, but there was an encounter with a word from the Lord, and that changed the situation completely. Many years ago, I was in a kind of, a troubled situation, you know. I was troubled about a situation, how it was going to pan out, how it was going to eventuate. And in the state of that trouble, the Lord brought a word to me. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, I was on a court, a sporting area. When that word came to me, I remember I was praying together with a friend, and I said, I think it's time to go home now. Why? Because that word settled all of my anxiety and worry about that situation. That's what the word will bring. It will bring a change of your attitude. All of a sudden, I had confidence that it will end well. A word from the Lord. And you need to find it. You need to find it. Years ago, again, like I said, I could point to specific instances in my life that it was just a word from the Lord that settled the situation in my heart ever before the physical manifestation of the result that I was hoping for. You know, years ago, again, there was a situation, this was at a family level, and Buke and I, we were kind of confused and troubled about it. We didn't know exactly what we were going to do. And I can't remember exactly where I was. And a word came from the Lord into my heart. And the word is Galatians chapter number 3, verse 29. Galatians chapter number 3, verse 29. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? I know for many of you, it probably doesn't even make sense. What does this mean? You know, but for me at that time, because there was a particular situation that needs to be addressed, the Holy Spirit was able to breathe upon this word. It came alive. It became like, it was almost like I've just been issued or a ticket of some sort, a certificate, you know. I just received it and I said, wow, it's settled, you know, and the situation, even though it would take months down the track before it will change, right from that moment, it was settled in my heart. What I'm saying, people of God, is that the attitude of anxiety and worry and confusion can get changed just because of you finding a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. That's all you need. Now, I know some of you are probably in some situation now that you wish, look, I just want this to end anytime, very soon. As a matter of fact, today, what I'm going to ask you to do is find a word from the Lord. Find a word from the Lord. So a word from the Lord will change your attitude, but it's going to have impact on your attitude. But that's not the only thing it will have impact on. A word from the Lord, it will also have an impact on your action. It will have an impact on your action. Look at what the Bible says in verse 29, the place we have just read. Verse 29, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. It says this. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. So this is the king now going into action. There has been a change of his attitude. He has had this conviction from God regarding the sin of Judah. This was not even about his personal situation alone. It was about the sin of Judah, the sin of the entire nation. The Bible says, then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small, and he read in their hearing. Now, this is the king reading now. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandment and his testimonies and his statutes and with all his heart and all his soul to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. So it was not going to just stop at the change of attitude. The king actually got everyone that was important, everyone in the land actually, and got them together, and he made a promise, a covenant. This was a public declaration. It was not a kind of a secret thing. It was a public thing. This covenant was made in the presence of other people, and he's saying that this is what we're going to start to do now. This is what I am going to do as the king, and this is what I will have all Judah to do. So there was an action that followed the change of attitude, and that's what always happens when you have a contact with a word from the Lord. The word from the Lord will not just change you inside, it will change what you will do outside. It will change it. You know, fear is gone, confusion disappears by the reason of that word, and then you begin to walk with confidence. You begin to take certain steps, and people will be wondering, why are you taking such steps? Because they never knew how you have had an encounter with God through this one word from him, a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. So it will have an impact on your attitude. It will have an impact on your action. But that's not it. That's not all. It will also have an impact on your associates. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 32. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Now, this is now beyond even Josiah. The Bible says they did according, all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus, verse 33, thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. Wow. That's profound. So this went beyond Josiah as a king, as a person. It now impacted the people within his domain. You know, he was the king. And that's the way the single word from the Lord will not just impact your attitude and action. It's going to impact on every single connection that you've got. It's going to impact your family, for instance. It's going to impact the people in your workplace. It's going to impact the people in your sphere of influence, a word from the Lord. Now, let me begin to round up by saying this. Note that the book of the Lord was found there because it was kept there by someone. Somebody had kept this word. Okay? Somebody had kept this word in the house of the Lord. Unfortunately, it was neglected. And so for many years, for several decades, it was not reckoned with until this priest found it when they were trying to repair the temple, the house of the Lord. It was kept there. Why did I say it too? Because finding this word becomes difficult if it was never kept beforehand. Finding a word from the Lord becomes difficult if you never took time beforehand to keep it in your heart. Now, I know, for instance, there are situations that will happen, and then We will take the Bible and say, what does the Bible say about it? What does the Lord say about this? What does the Lord say, for instance, about situation like this? And then, as a good student of the Bible, you will put information in your computer or in your concordance, and it's going to generate certain verses. And you're going to begin to read those areas and begin to get, oh, this is the mind of God regarding this. What does the Lord say about my marriage? What does the Lord say about finances? What does the Lord say about giving? What does the Lord say about this, about that, you know? What does the Lord say? What is the mind of God when you are under pressure, the pressure to deliver, the pressure to act, to do something? What does the word say? What if you are in a fix, you are in between two opinions, and each one of them will make or mar you if you take the wrong step? What does the word say? I know the Lord is able to lead that way. But people of God, I want to challenge you to a better ground, and that is you storing the word in your heart ahead of time, so that when it is time to be found, you go to a place where it has been stored. The book of the law of the Lord was found in this temple because it was kept there by somebody. I want to challenge you today to start keeping this word in your heart, so that when the Holy Spirit will come, it's just going to bring a searchlight, beam a searchlight upon the word, and you're going to be able to find it. It's not going to, it's almost like you want to find a book, you know, and you have, you know, loads and loads and loads and loads of books, you know, if you were to go to the bookstore. Imagine now you have bought a certain set of books and you've already put them on your shelf. It becomes easier because there is a less collection that somebody can go in there and search out. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Holy Spirit is limited, but what becomes my own personal experience and the experiences of others is that the Holy Spirit is able to bring the searchlight upon the word that has been kept in your heart. Now, you remember those verses that I talked to you about? On those two occasions, they were not new to me. They were kept somewhere in my heart. It just became activated by the Holy Spirit when it was required to deal with the situation. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? I've read it. I've heard it before. So when the Holy Spirit will bring his searchlight upon the word, it came alive, shouted, as if I had never heard it before, while it became a rhema of some sort to me to deal with my situation. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise? Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. You know the reason why I've not forgotten it? Because it made so much impact upon me that it changed the dimension of the game forever. I don't have all the time. I will have told you the story. It was a confusing story. It was a confusing situation in my family. Nobuki and I were just newly married. And we needed a solution to this problem. I am the Lord. If you are Christ, rather, then are you Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise? And I began to ruminate upon the word. Why? Because it was stored beforehand. I'm challenging you, people of God. Store this word. How do you store it? Read it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. It's not because there is an exam that you're going to sit next week. You're memorizing because you're storing it in your heart. It's going to be required someday, sometime. You never will be able to tell. So that when the Holy Spirit will come, he's going to be able to pick it out and say, this is what you need. Listen to the word of God. Bombard your heart with this word. Because like I said, on the day of trouble, the parable of Australia is not going to help you. The folklore of Africa will be nowhere to help you. A Chinese saying will be impotent to deliver you from trouble. It's going to be a word from the Lord. But the word will be found from the store of your heart, where you have kept it in time's past. I'm challenging you, people of God. The chaos of the last hour is so great. The consequences are so devastating in many families and homes and in people's lives. And as we await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an unleashing, as it were, of the terror of darkness everywhere in the globe. But there is one assurance for every man and every woman that names Christ as his Lord and Savior. The word will always come on top. Keep that word in your heart, because I can assure you, you will need it someday. And at that time, it will be readily available for you to find it. Find a word, that's all you need. Let us pray.